I just want to point out that early this morning, he said to me, why is healing not happening to me? So many people ask why, and we don't understand because of circumstances. So I kind of set that aside because I didn't know what he really wanted. So later on today, I took time for the Lord and went over some of the things that he wanted to do. And he was pressing me to go back and to look at John chapter 17. So if you'll go to John 17, verse 1 says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son. Well, was he fully aware that he was about to glorify the Son through his death? And I don't believe that he had no awareness of that. There I am. Amen? And
amen.
I was listening to this piece of information. Glorifying your Son through a death and a resurrection process, how did he work with that awareness that this was going to glorify himself through a real dramatic form of suffering? And that's why we call it Good Friday. The natural response to say this is a good day would be just the opposite. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Well, to glorify the Son through his, and then to glorify the Father through his death, you can see a little tiny picture of that when Abraham offers up his son with his willingness. And so verse 2 says, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I was communicating with someone today about their future. And I kept reminding them that the Father has a plan. And when we don't knock on the Father's door to find out what the plan is, we're going to continue to do what is comfortable to us rather than what our Father wants. Because you can nullify any calling just by doing your own thing. So verse 5 says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. We also had a position with the Lord. That's how you and I are called sons of God and daughters of God. We had an awareness of who we were and what we were called to do. And the preparation is different for all of us. My preparation came when I was, well, actually about 39 or 40, where he said it was time to quit all these worldly things that I had been doing and that he was going to put me on a journey. But I expected to know what the journey was like, and I could use whatever highway I thought would be good. But that's not the way it went. And I've shared with that situation many, many times with you. So I don't want to go back there. I want to go to the next verse, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you. So now that tells you about the disciples. They were fully aware of who and where Jesus came from. Then he says, and they believe that you sent me. So he had struggled with them because of their unbelief. And now he knows they do have that awareness in their hearts. Then he says, I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. I believe the Father had downloaded into the Son the fullness of the awareness that the whole of creation was holding out in the balance. And if Jesus said no, which he had a right to do, just like all of us have a right to do, we can say no to anything he asks us to do because we've been given free will. He has not created robots out of us. So keeping that in mind, we are called to a job, a works program, a revelation of him on a daily basis. And there are times that he kind of switches things and we kind of fall apart because it doesn't match our perception of the next level. So we kind of put it away. Now, I'm praying that God will continue to reveal to me that I'm in his perfect will to the best of my ability. And some of the challenges are not always comfortable because we've been put into a place right now where we can't connect the way we used to. Everything that was normal has been changed. And I kind of want to switch gears about this being the Passover season. When Moses told them all that there were going to be plagues and hardships, I truly believe that they were so upset with him because they wanted out yesterday. They wanted out 400 years ago. But 430 years was part of the challenge. Thinking about each and every one of our hearts and the way we work with the Lord, whenever we hit a brick wall and we start getting discouraged, the recipe that I've told you and shared with you is to start giving thanks in all circumstances. They may not be comfortable. They may not be something you're enjoying, but they are God's way so that you can readjust and realign yourself with what he wants. And I was thinking about Pia's word the other night where she said she prayed for God's alignment, that God would take her and her husband and all the circumstances with a perfect lineup with his will. That was a good word because many of us need to do that. We need to be constantly reassuring that we can adjust with his grace. I was talking with Gail this morning and she had to make some adjustments last night. And they weren't comfortable, but she purposed to believe. She also purposed to believe that the help she would need and whatever John would need would be provided without her getting in the middle of it. Many times we get in the middle of stuff because of our emotions, because of our circumstances, but Jesus here is assuring himself and the Father as he's praying that he knows the people around him are ready. They're ready to do and they're ready to perform whatever is needed in order to go to the finish line. And to be honest, He knew they were ready, but he also knew they would fall apart. Think about that reality. He told Peter that you're going to deny me three times before it happened. So he knew Peter was going to just explode after he was allowing himself to be captured. Now, I don't know how well I would have done. I probably would have done much worse than Peter. And as I was reading some of this, where John has got an insight, if you read this whole section of the word, when he's arrested, et cetera, et cetera, John has a way to get into the high priest's backyard or courtyard where there's a fire. And it says loud and clear that John is the one that went and had a relationship with the high priest's family. So he was able to get in, and that was also something prepared by God. But when he get to the gate to allow Peter to come in, the girl asks him a question, and right away he falls apart because he sees the Lord all tied up. Again, my expectations, his expectations, how would I have done? I don't think I would have done well at all. And when she confronts him, oh no, I don't know him. Because he doesn't want to be identified with him at that point. Because I think his emotions are in full control. Now, if that happened to Peter, who had 3.5 years with Jesus every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, how about you and me when we fall or we fall short? There's a commission to us to run back to giving thanks that don't make sense. There's a commission to us to stick to what we've learned and then to go forward with it. Now, there's a lot more meat here, but I want to transfer you to James chapter 1. So if you'll get your adjustments there, go to James chapter 1, because I don't believe for one moment that Peter ever intended or had an awareness that he would fall apart. And there were many times that he had been corrected by the Lord. And I'll give you some of the scriptures after that. But I want to give you verse 2 of James chapter 1. Some of you might know this by heart, because I pounded this home pretty well. Because again, I had to live it myself. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. So we all know that we want to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, if you notice in John 17, the Lord is aware in his prayer that his disciples and his apostles are ready. Even though in their reactions when he got arrested, they're not ready. They all ran. But he says they are ready. Then it says, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But verse 6 is what I want you to see. And if you need to put a circle around it, do it. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Now, I highlighted that because that's the answer of why healing doesn't happen to us. Many times we doubt. The minute we doubt, everything falls apart. And doubts, believe it or not, are like seeds of fear. And right now, our nation is under that anointing. And you can see the actions and reactions of different people. When they're under that anointing, it's unpleasant. So I'm going to take you to a few scriptures that shows you how our Savior was working with his disciples during those 3 years. Matthew 14, verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" It's confirmed in Matthew 16, 8. Now, you know it was Peter that was walking on the water, but he had the miracle, but then he doubted and he began to sink. You and I can have a miracle and we can lose it if we start doubting. Matthew 17, 17. "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Now that sounds like a lot of times when I say to the children, repeating over and over, having someone that's stubborn and doesn't want to obey, that's how we feel. Then he says to them, "Bring the boy here to me." So he knows he's not going to have doubts. He's not going to have a lack of faith to bring the boy back to life out of the deaf and dumb spirit that's trying to kill him. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So now fear is a faith killer. I should hear an amen. Would you wave to me and see? Come on. Do you still have no faith? So he's aware, he's an emotional heavenly king. He's aware of their war, and he's still trying to get them to come out of fear. So that tells you how strong that spirit is. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear. So it's a demonic spirit of fear, and it's activated now to such a high degree in our nation that they're trying in every way they can to keep us under that dominion. And if the political people that have wrong intentions for our nation could actually keep this going, they could make us sign a release so that we would lose all of our freedoms. So be careful when you bow to fear. Luke 24, 25, the two on the way to Emmaus, he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe." So you can see the believing aspect is important. And he said, "All that the prophets have spoken." So now, thinking about how we act and react. Going back to verse 6 of James, chapter 1. "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt." Well, my reasoning abilities are usually so focused on fear, unbelief, and doubts that I have to ask for help. And the helper is the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to rely on him. He doesn't want us to think that we're so self-sufficient that we end up in pride. So the challenge is to run to him on every level. If you're in the fear tactics, if you're in the doubt department, you need to come out of there and you need to have the faith to believe for what you know is part of his plan for you. So, even tonight, as I was pondering again, looking, why is healing not happening to me? And I said, Lord, why did you choose that on Good Friday? He said, Good Friday is the day that it was fully paid for. Your healing was fully paid for when he said it is finished. The finished work manifested the moment that Jesus let down his head, and everything that the Father had asked him to do was done. Logically, I don't know how he was able. I believe the Holy Spirit kept him alive so that he could finish the line and all the things that were needed to be done. I don't know how, as a father, I could watch my child, boy or girl, go through what Jesus went through, especially when he wasn't guilty, especially when there was no fault or guilt in him. All he did was going around doing good. He healed all who were oppressed of the devil. So my quest tonight is to have you just close your eyes right now and put one hand over your heart. And I want you to agree with me so that the Holy Spirit will have an opportunity to do some healing tonight. So, Father, I bow before you with my brothers and sisters, and I declare from my heart that your plan to heal us has never changed. Our failure to believe, our failure to fall into doubts and unbelief, is no different than the disciples, no different than the apostles, no different than Peter. God found a way even for Thomas, who fell apart, because you see, his emotions were so flared. So you say, well, I feel like Thomas. God made a way for Thomas. So Father, tonight, with your Holy Spirit releasing grace, releasing favor into every heart that's listening to this message, that you know how to set us free from the doubts and the fear tactics and the unbelief that plagues all of humanity. Because we can see it on television. You can see it on the reports that are given on the internet. It's one area after another, after another, after another. And the bondage is so intense that it robs them and us of your peace, of your joy, and of your shalom, your well-being. So I'm asking tonight that our hearts would be open, that we would receive the fruit of the words of our Savior from that cross, when he took that last breath and he said, it is finished. Father, your son paid for everything that I ever made a mistake in. Every failure when I bowed to fear, every failure that when I bowed to doubt, and I got nothing, and sometimes I ended up blaming you. Forgive me and forgive my brothers and sisters as we bow before you, knowing that your ability is unlimited. And I'm asking for a multiplication of assistance from your angelic army, that they will be commissioned by you as the words of life come out of their mouth and their lips, so that this Good Friday would not be wasted if it is your will. And I do believe it's your will that healing will happen in every heart, even as you're sleeping tonight, even as you're resting in his presence, and that you will find that in the days ahead, that the resurrection that was promised will happen in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
John?
Amen. While you were restarting your computer.
Yeah.
And I haven't been at this desk for a while. I looked over and there are some things that the Lord had given me. And one of those I was kind of looking through, I think is appropriate, and the Lord would have me share that now. There are those that walk, but their walk doesn't match their talk. There are those that speak without knowledge, and those whom I have given knowledge to whom, and they refuse to speak. There are those who walk in knowledge, but that knowledge makes them self-righteous. And those who I have made to be righteous, that have yet to possess that full knowledge. For the walking, for talking, for knowledge, or even righteousness is not the key to my kingdom, but the key is the knowledge that I made you righteous.
Amen.
And then the walking that knowledge out while speaking that knowledge is what releases the power, my power, and the power of my kingdom in your life, and will bring the wayward creation back into alignment, position, proper position, and then full relationship with me as Creator, Redeemer, and Father. Each of those is different, different levels of relationship, revelation, and rewards, and different levels of walking, talking, knowing, and authority. You have been taught that authority in me is guarded by problems. But what has been missed is the focus of that truth. The purpose of the problems is not for you to hone your problem-solving skills, but for you, when faced with problems, to come to me and develop trust in me and who I am for the solutions. It is not about the problem-solution dynamic that I desire, but the depth of relationship, of you becoming fully indwelt by and in me, and the process therewith that has always been my desire, to be known even as Father knows me, and to fulfill my prayer in John 17, of Father in me, and we in you, and you in us.
Amen. Awesome confirmation.
Amen.
Must be the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You would probably be able to have a copy of that so that you can send it to us.
Yes, that is a section of. Yes. The short answer is yes.
Perfect.
You notice that when we have a problem like this or any other problem, we seek those that have earned degrees of approval or acceptance in the worldly system.
Yeah.
Whereby we should be, as a nation, calling for the prophets of God, the people of God, of what God is saying and what is his solution. Amen.
The majority of the earth, great majority, is not there yet. But there is a remnant that are crying out for the Lord and his revelation. So that when we look at Good Friday this year and the Resurrection Sunday that's coming, my prayer is that each of us will awaken to new realities of why we were called for such a time as this. Because there's a definite purpose, even if our emotions don't match. Because your emotions won't match any more than it did for Peter. So the emotions can be brought as a sacrifice of praise is brought before the Lord. And it's not easy. It's not easy.